the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
The radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It is you. Yes, you. The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. Thank you for listening today. To reach us on the telephone, 877-711-5211. Email udocs@gmail.com. Listen to us on our terrific affiliates all across the country. Listen to us on iHeartRadio. Add Radio MD and you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, to the Daily Pulse. On iHeartRadio Talk, a special news and updates section you can customize for the information that's important to you. Go to iHeartRadio.com. You can download an app and you can use it on your computer. When you use the computer, click Talk in the main menu and search for you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Dr. Mike is here. Our topic at 35 after the hour is a super survivor. Dr. Mike, we're going to learn about super survivors.
Well, this is a different take on super survivors. The authors, David Feldman and Lee Daniel Kravitz, talk about actually suffering, helping people survive. That is, there is a benefit to not having a positive outlook, but having a goal and going for the goal and not worrying about, in fact, whether you're suffering or not, but going towards the goal, and that suffering seems to help people hit the goal and motivates them. It's kind of like when I was in college, my English prof took me aside and said, what do you want to be, Mike? And I said, I want to be a physician. He said, it's a good thing, because if you wanted to write or do anything writing, you would not make it. Well, that gave me motivation to write, try and write a book that was a bestseller. So it's trying to do, overcome obstacles, it seems like, is a major benefit for us in life.
It's like he caught you early anyway, gave you the word on your future early so you could make the adjustment.
That's right. I did try and learn how to write all the time, so you're right in that aspect of it. But it is that when you set a goal to overcome what someone says you can't do.
Super survivors, what they overcome in life and how they do it. Most times successfully. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Ebola is worsening in West Africa. U.S. health officials late in the week last week urged us Americans to avoid non-essential travel to the three countries in West Africa dealing with the Ebola outbreak. So, Dr. Mike, what are the facts? Do Americans need to worry?
Well, this is a very infectious, but it's not a very contagious disease. What do we mean by that? We mean by that that if you get some of the fluid, the bodily fluids, from one of these people who already has the Ebola virus, you have a very high likelihood of getting the disease. But it is, meaning you have a very high chance of getting it, but it is not very contagious. You actually have to get that fluid. It doesn't travel through air well. It doesn't live on, tables and doors and in places like the flu bacteria does and flu virus does. That's a very good news, because someplace between 60 to 90% of the, I guess it's almost 1,400 people now in those three countries who have gotten infected with this have died. And obviously, kissing, having sex, exchanging fluids in some other way are main causes. And by being infectious, it has a higher rate of infection than, for example, the AIDS virus does. But it is, and it appears to be, very much less contagious than flu.
They say controlling it's going to take 6 months, And of course, those numbers, the disease has killed almost 750 and affected more than 1,400. I guess there are no effective treatments or vaccines. So what's the best way to control the disease?
Well, the best way is to isolate the people and isolate the contacts with bodily fluids. So if you can do that, you can, in other words, if you can find everyone who's got it. The problem is there's up to a 21-day incubation period. So if, for example, you're a hospital worker and you get a cut or something and you're worried about getting this, you have to be isolated for 21 days, take your fever for 21 days, because if you have the virus in that 21-day period, you're infective to others who have, for example, a cut on their hand. And if you have a cut on your hand and exchange it with them, bodily fluids with them, just by that casual contact, it's infectious enough that you can get it. The benefit, the good news is, it isn't someone can't cough on you or something like that. It isn't orally contagious. But because that long incubation period of 21 days, up to 21 days, I should say, doesn't have to be that long, but up to 21 days means you've got to be isolated for 21 days. That's why they have to isolate all the people who have it. And obviously, if you had 5 people with it, it's much easier to isolate them than if you have 1,400 with it.
So the CDC says we don't need to be overly concerned about an outbreak here, but you know, these days with direct nonstop international travel, aren't we always just, and it may not even be this, Ebola, aren't we always just one sick passenger away from an outbreak of something?
Unfortunately, you're right, Joe, and that's the hazard of international travel is just that. You don't know who's in the seat next to you. You don't know whether they will give you something, and through the air recycling systems, those systems are very good at getting toxins and smells out, but apparently aren't very good at keeping viruses out, because there is a fairly sizable transmission of viral diseases that are airborne, such as the respiratory viruses and cold and flu. That's why a lot of people think that they get sick after they're in an airplane flight. And one of the things we say, you know, the germiest place on the flight is that little thing right in front of you, that pocket.
Oh, yeah.
And then the second germiest place is the audio and radio control on the plane. And the third most germiest place is coming out of the air recycling system. So you should turn off your air recycling, turn off your if you will, the air system as soon as you get in the plane.
Probably goes for buses and trains too, wouldn't it? Not just airplanes.
You know, I don't know the data on buses and trains, but it's very logical with the person next to you, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's the type of air recycling systems on. They probably, because they're down at sea at ground level, you can open windows and get fresh air from outside, rather than have to have it recycled. The reason you have to have it recycled in the airplane is because the oxygen is so thin at that altitude.
Before the break, winter or summer? What is more deadly for us, winter or summer months?
Well, this is a really interesting study. This is the CDC's data, because the data from the National Weather Service is so different. So the CDC put out data, and it said, guess what? The winter is deadlier than the summer in the USA. About 2,000 residents die each year from weather-related things. 63% are attributed to natural cold, hypothermia, or both. 31% to excessive natural heat stroke, sunstroke. 6% to floods, severe storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, or lightning. The highest number of deaths from cold is in the rural West. And the highest number of heat-related deaths, south and west. So being in the Northeast, we're protected a little bit from both of those. We get it from severe storms.
Udocs@gmail.com, Youdocs@gmail.com. We are doing something right. We are drinking less soda. That's a good thing. Details on You, the Owner's Manual, coming up on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start insures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective. Even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health, and it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt-based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Antioxidants. You've heard of them, but do you know what they're good for or where to get them? This is Sylvia Escott Stump of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Antioxidants, they destroy the free radicals that cause cellular damage. And eating foods that are rich in antioxidants may help prevent cancer and heart disease. These foods include red wine in addition to grape juice, whole grain pasta, eggs, seafood, and canned beans, brightly colored vegetables, carrots, squash, broccoli, all the peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and kale are other tasty sources. And for those of you with a sweet tooth, good news. Honey, brown sugar, and maple syrup, in addition to fruits like blueberries, cantaloupe, peaches, and strawberries, also contain significant levels of antioxidants. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Sylvia Escott Stump with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
Only half of adults in the U.S. get the 2.5 hours per week of aerobic physical activity recommended for health benefits. Walkers are more likely to get the recommended amount. More adults are walking, but better spaces and more places are still needed. Communities can promote walking when they create long-range plans, such as master plans, and design safe streets for walkers. Communities can also ensure sidewalks and paths are in good repair and have easy-to-read signs. Employers can create walking programs, encourage walking breaks and meeting, and identify nearby paths or routes. Increase your physical activity by starting a walking group. Participate in local planning for walking paths and new sidewalks, or work with parents and schools to encourage walking to school where it's safe. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we're brought to you by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. UDocs at gmail.com, YOUDOCS at gmail.com. What is a super survivor? We'll find out at 35 minutes past the hour this hour with our guest segment. Here's a bit of good news. Dr. Mike here to tell us why Americans, I understand, are more likely to avoid drinking soda than before. Dr. Mike, why is that? Sounds like a good start.
Well, they're more aware of the hazards of sugar. So Americans are avoiding sugar as well as soda. And that's a great start. But obviously, there are a lot of other things they aren't doing. But if you will, this is a, how do I call it, the best of the starts. Now, let me tell you what the data are.
Sure.
So that we can say it. If you look at it, nearly two-thirds of Americans report avoiding soda in their diet. That's up from 41% in 2002. So 41% were actively trying to avoid soda in 2002. It's now 63%. If you think of that from Coca-Cola's standpoint or Pepsi-Cola's standpoint, that's a huge jump. In fact, only 13% say they don't think about soda, whether they take it in or not, meaning it's fine for them. That's down from 24% a decade ago. So if you were PepsiCo or Coca-Cola or Dr. Pepper, you'd have to say, heck, we've got to change the behaviors again to think about diet soda, or maybe produce more water or other flavored waters or other things, teas and coffees. And all of them are, that is Pepsi and Coke, are both diversifying as well as selling around the world. So this is a big change. Now, if you will, many other things in health aren't changing, but Americans know they should be eating more fruits and vegetables, so they're thinking seriously about eating more fruits and vegetables. But in fact, they aren't eating more fruits and vegetables, so we're not doing better on that, but we are at least thinking about it.
Well, from personal observation, I notice, and it's totally unscientific, that when we go out to a restaurant, I see more and more people with a glass of water. You know, when they bring, can I get you some drinks? Yeah. I see more people with water, so I'm not sure, you know, if that's a majority of people do that, but I do see more of it. One thing that always puzzles me when I watch NASCAR races, after the NASCAR race, the winner or everybody, all the racers get out and they talk to the reporters about how well they did and the winner of the race, and I notice they're always drinking soda, which is bizarre to me. I just, it doesn't seem right. Now, I don't know if they've got their contracted, I guess, by the soda company maybe to do it, but isn't that weird?
Well, the interesting thing is they probably are contracted by the soda company, meaning either NASCAR has it or someone else has it, where the soda company is a sponsor and gives them money for doing it. The other thing could be, remember, these guys probably, and I don't know this for a fact, but probably have trouble in their race cars with urinating, meaning they can't find a place to urinate regularly inside the car.
I heard it goes out the ashtray.
What?
It goes out. I heard they use the ashtray. It goes out through the ashtray.
I don't think they can do it at those speeds. So they probably are short of both water and caffeine. They may not have caffeine as they drive around, so because that causes diuresis or causes you to increase your urine. So maybe they're just hungry for that caffeine and water, the two of them together at the end of the race.
No, well, it seems to me after that long race, you're in a car for 4 hours of heat. Obviously, it's hot in those cockpits, even when the temperature is comfortable outside. But when it gets to 95, you know, in some of these cities where they drive in the south, I can't imagine getting out of a car after 4 hours of being in a 120-degree cockpit and having soda. I don't think that would set, physically, I don't think that would set right in my stomach. But it's just strange to me that they drink it. Just always, I considered it odd. So, before the break, sleeping pills are bad for older adults. How come?
Well, there are two reasons. One, they last a lot longer. Remember, sleeping pills, the difference between men and women was first, it's the first pill with a different dosage for men and women. Women don't metabolize it as well. But in addition, when you get older, you don't metabolize it as well. It hangs around longer. And if you get a usual dose, you may have a hangover the next day, be a little confused the next day, or drowsy. not able to coordinate your walking as well. And so it's associated with falls and increased accidents in the elderly much more commonly than in young. And those who go to emergency rooms for problems relating to sleeping pills, 32% of them get admitted to the hospital. That's as opposed to about a third of that in the younger age groups. So there appear to be more side effects and more serious side effects, and also an increase in falls and accidents when the elderly get a hold of sleeping pills or use sleeping pills.
Let's talk about Google for a minute till we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. Then our guest talks about super survivors. Google evidently is more than a search engine these days, and apparently their next project is us. And I guess it's called the Moonshot Project. What do you know?
Well, this is almost like the old days of the Medici being the ones who sponsored art. Well, now it is the rich companies seem to be the ones sponsoring science, since we've cut back on NIH funding so much. Maybe that's who's taking over, and that is a very bad sign, if you will, from a standpoint of if they're the only ones. But this is a very interesting project that they are funding. They're trying to find out what is normal cellular function, what is normal in gene function, and how do we stay healthy as we get older. So they're looking at the, if you will, how to keep yourself with a younger real age, and they're doing that by studying 175 people, about half at Stanford and half at Duke, with their genomes, knowing everything about them, knowing everything inside their cells, and then watching what happens to them and studying them very closely to find out what goes wrong, what stays right, and to learn out, in other words, who should drink coffee, who shouldn't. And that has been worked out because of one of these projects, not with the specific Google X project spoken of here, their Moonshot, but with another project that was done with 23andMe that found out that only the fast metabolizers of coffee got a long-term benefit and decreased cancer rates and decreased diabetes rates and decreased mental dysfunction rates. So this holds promise of knowing what is normal for you, what you should avoid, what you shouldn't avoid, by studying everything about these 175 people in the hopes that they can figure out what each person should do to stay at their highest level of functioning.
Everybody is different, though, in terms of their physical makeup and their genetic makeup. Would it be able to be applied in a larger area so that it could help a greater percentage of people?
Well, the hope is that by studying these 175, there'll be enough variation. They will use their search and their large analytics database. They have this huge computational capability at Google. And by doing that, they'll be able to figure out what's good and bad for each genome and genotype. They're taking a wide variety of people. It's not just, they've got to have every gender, every ethnic group, et cetera, and a wide variety that they're going to follow for a long time.
Udocs@gmail.com, Youdocs@gmail.com. 80% of us suffer trauma in our lifetimes, and many are able to survive and overcome its effects, and those people are called super survivors. What makes super survivors tick, and what makes a super survivor succeed? It's our guest segment after the break on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Notice when you have a baby, everyone seems to give you advice. From your mother-in-law,
don't you know you can't take that baby out in the rain today? And where is her hat?
To your own parents,
you should take the baby outside every day, even in the rain.
To your friends,
you have got to get this diaper cream. It is so much better than the one you've been using.
When it comes to the important stuff, like immunizations and protecting my baby's health, I trust my baby's doctor. She really listens to my questions about shots, she gives me great information, and she works with me to make sure my baby gets protected. And that's something even my mother-in-law can agree with.
Honey, I totally support you getting the baby vaccinated, but really, shouldn't you put the baby's hat back on?
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I'm so glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Can you tell if the surfaces in this kitchen are crawling with bacteria that could cause chronic arthritis? Listen. Can't, can you? You can't see it either. Wash surfaces, utensils, and hands frequently with soapy water while preparing food, especially when handling raw meats or eggs. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick, or worse. 1 in 6 Americans will get sick from food poisoning this year, and roughly 3,000 will die. But you can keep your family safer by cleaning with soap and water as you go. Learn more about this and other important information. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. That's foodsafety.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things, and it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me, so I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
80% of Americans suffer trauma at some point, setback in their lifetimes, and many are able to survive and overcome its effects. And there are those who, after a great tragedy, accomplish something very extraordinary. They break wet records. They win awards. You've heard of them before. They're featured on sports shows and other areas of life, obviously. David Feldman and Lee Daniel Kravitz are authors of Super Survivors, The Surprising Link Between Suffering and Success. It's published by HarperWave. It's a division of HarperCollins Publishing. Dr. Feldman, let me begin with you. I think the definition of a super survivor, I think it's almost self-explanatory, and you can add on to it if you want to, but I'd be interested in how many people that are considered to be a super survivor have a positive attitude.
Yeah, so I think we're all familiar with post-traumatic stress disorder, the nightmares and the flashbacks. PTSD is a real serious condition that needs a lot of conversation and, of course, deserves treatment. But I think a lot of people aren't familiar with the fact that it only occurs to about 20% or so of people who have experienced a trauma. Contrast that with another, I think, little-known statistic, and that is that after trauma, something like 50 to 80% of people grow in some way. They discover new avenues in life. They may grow closer to people. They may deepen in their spirituality. And the people we call super survivors are people who take that to an extreme, who experience lifelong revolutionary change in their lives as a result of trauma. And that is related to what you might call the attitude of grounded hope. In the book, we interviewed 17 people who are super survivors, who have bounced forward after trauma. And they all say that it was this attitude of grounded hope that helped them to move forward. Grounded hope, in short, is having a very realistic view of what has happened to you, not painting over it with a smiley face or distorting or denying it. We heard people saying things like, you know what, I just lost my leg and I'm 17 years old. I have cancer and I'm 25. I lost my vision and I'm 24 years old and I've lost my career in the Navy. And that sounds depressing, but by accepting what they could not change, they say they were able to identify what they could change and begin to marshal their strengths to put one foot in front of the other and to create a better life for themselves. That's what we call grounded hope.
David Feldman, Lee Daniel Kravitz, authors of Super Survivors from HarperCollins. Here's Dr. Mike Roizen. Dr. Mike.
Now, you make a point in the book of telling the difference between grounded hope, what you have just talked about, that is what I would call realistic setting of goals, but they're almost unrealistic goals for some of these. And the second point is just positive thinking. Tell us the difference and why you make that difference.
Well, I can take that one, and then I want to hand it to Lee to tell you one of the stories that exemplifies this.
Good, because there's a great story. We should say this book has a series of wonderful stories in it. I like the one on this one about Dutch marathon swimmer Martin, I can't even pronounce his name, but I'm just going to call him.
Well, maybe, Lee, why don't you tell that one, and I can follow it
sure,
up.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. So the story of, Martin Vanderweeden is pretty interesting because, you know, he was a swimmer, and he enjoyed swimming quite a bit, and at a young age, he was diagnosed with leukemia, and he was given a 30% chance of survival. And, you know, he said in competitive sports, just like the cancer ward, you know, there are some very unrealistic people. And it's understandable why. When you're diagnosed with something like cancer, it's very natural for people to come up to you and say, just think positively. In some ways, it's kind of our fallback response. Just think positively. Good things are going to happen as long as you can continue to think positively. But the problem was for Martin, you know, he was far too realistic for that. He knew the odds of his survival were pretty low. So what he did was he took small, realistic steps toward making his life better while he was going through cancer treatment. He took different types of chemotherapy. Certain days he was feeling really sick, so he took those a little bit easier. Some days he was feeling stronger, just continued with that sort of treatment. And ultimately, he did survive. He became part of the 30% who did survive. And he wound up translating that philosophy, that grounded thinking, that realistic thinking, into his swimming career. And he knew that he was not the best swimmer. He wasn't the strongest swimmer. He wasn't the fastest swimmer. And when he competed with other people, he knew that sometimes many of them were going to be much better than he was. But he continued to work harder to win championship after championship, and after 5 years of doing this, he wound up winning a gold medal in the Olympics.
I think the difference here between this grounded hope and positive thinking is he could have told himself, well, I'm not going to think negative thoughts. I'm not going to think about how I'm not as strong as some of the other swimmers or don't have as much endurance naturally as some of the swimmers. He could have done that, and that would have made him feel good in the short term. But by admitting his faults to himself, admitting really where he was in life, he was able to set goals to help to remediate some of that, to help to make himself ultimately a better swimmer despite some of the setbacks and challenges that he had. And that's what enabled him to be an Olympic gold medalist, not painting a smiley face over his problem.
You know, when I read this, and this story in particular, plus one more in the later in the book, I got the idea that this was that the super survivors have this "I'll show them" attitude. That is, it is more than a positive attitude, but it is saying, I can do this, and I'm going to show this person who put me down. I liken it to, if you will, one thing in my personal life, but also in baseball players who get traded, have a much higher average against the team that traded them than against all other teams they play against. And it is like, I'm showing them. And I liken that's almost a super survivor attitude. Is that what it is?
I think there's definitely an element of that. One of the people that we interviewed was a guy named Casey Peretti, who lost his leg in an accident when he was only 17. And he really wanted to be a bouncer in a bar. And he was told that, you know, nobody's afraid of a guy with one leg and a prosthetic limb. And so this is one of the things that he took as an affront to his pride. And he began to say, you know what, I'll show you. And now, by the way, he's one of the most sought-after stuntmen in Hollywood, and his specialty is getting his leg blown off, because he can do that. I do think a lot of the super survivors have an I'll show them attitude, but I also think that a lot of the super survivors have an I'll show myself attitude, that it really is more about achieving a meaningful life filled with meaningful things for them, given the fact that they might come from a place of disadvantage because of their traumas and tragedies relative to other people. So I don't think it's all about personal pride. I think a lot of it is about meaning and a meaningful life.
Yeah, I mean, now, we saw that quite a bit. I mean, there was Alan Locke, who went blind and wound up becoming the first person to row across the Atlantic Ocean blind. You know, that was something that was meaningful for him. He wanted to show himself that he could do that. I thought it was a great, great example of that philosophy.
Now, there's also this story later on in the book, or in the, I guess it would be in the middle of the book, about Candy Chang and death. So one of the things this brings up is, how did you find these people, Lee, and get their stories? When we come back from the break, we'll talk about that. But we have to go to a hard break now. Joe?
Thank you, Dr. Mike. Super Survivors, the surprising link between suffering and success. David Feldman and Lee Daniel Kravitz are the authors. More with our two guests coming up. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in
mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oregano P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt-based nasal spray. Use Oregano P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
We're discussing super survivors today in our guest segment, David Feldman, Dr. David Feldman and Lee Daniel Kravitz, the authors of Super Survivors, The Surprising Link Between Suffering and Success from HarperCollins Publishing. And now here is Dr. Mike Roizen.
And we should say, if you want to learn more about these stories in the book, you can go to the website, supersurvivors.com. We have a question that fits with what we were asking. Deborah asks if any of these people had near-death experiences and how much that motivated them. And at the same time, I was intrigued by the responses to one of the Candy Chang's story, and I don't want to tell it because you'll tell it much better. So, Lee, I guess this is to you.
Well, I actually hand this over to Dave. I think he loves this story.
He loves this story. It's not the most dramatic story, but it's one of the most meaningful to me. Candy Chang was a young designer and artist living the life of a 20-something-year-old person. She was creating beautiful things, making a good living, but not living an unchallenged life. I guess she was living an unchallenged life. And then something happened that shouldn't happen to anybody in their 20s. One of her friends, a peer of hers, died suddenly. You know, we expect people in their 80s and 90s to pass away, as tragic as that is. But when someone dies that's young like that, it really sent Candy for a loop. And it caused her to, you know, confront her own mortality and to ask herself, you know what? Am I really leading the life that I want to live? Because time may be shorter than any of us think. And so she decided to change her life. She moved to New Orleans across the country, and this was in the aftermath of Katrina, and she helped to rebuild the city. And in her neighborhood, which was one of the hardest hit by the storm, there was a dilapidated house in the very center. And she wanted to create an emotional center for her neighborhood. So she took buckets of blackboard paint, and she and some of her friends painted the side of the house and making it into a blackboard. And they stenciled at the top in white paint, "Before I die, I want to." And they drew 80 blanks. And honestly, she thought nothing would come of it. In fact, she thought gang members might even graffiti over it. So she was shocked when she came the next day, and all 80 blanks were filled in, and there were answers spilling into the margins. "I want to save one child. I want to found a business. I want to see my son or daughter graduate." Just incredible, incredible dreams and wishes. And the thing that's incredible about this for me is that for those 80 people, there were these meaningful, amazing dreams just below the surface. And I think it's that way for most of us. I think we have these dreams below the surface, but we don't act on them very often, and we don't share them with other people. And I think one of the principal messages that super survivors have to teach us is not to wait for trauma, for near-death experiences, for confrontations with mortality, to wake us up to begin to set goals and attempt to live according to our dreams. I just think it's an amazing story that in my own life, has pushed me to make more conscious decisions.
Okay, did we lose our connection with Dr. Mike?
We may have.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, it leaves me to ask a few questions until he comes back. I'm totally unprepared. This reminds me of a song. I don't know if you fellows have heard it or not, but Tug McGraw. His son, McGraw, sings a song called "Live Like You Were Dying." Have you ever heard that?
Absolutely.
It was a big country.
Oh yeah.
Big country song.
Yep.
I forget his first name. Tug McGraw's son, Tim McGraw.
I do think that's a commonality to the super survivors is that having lived through the worst possible thing that they can imagine, having looked at death in the face, and having survived, I think that they're, first of all, less scared of taking risks than they used to. And I think it also teaches them that life may be shorter than most of us realize. And so if you're not gonna live fully, you're taking a risk in itself, right? You're taking a risk that you're going to have a lot of regrets. So why not start now? I think that is one of the principal messages of super survivors. Live like you're dying in a good way, not a bad way.
Right. Tim McGraw is his name. Okay, Dr. Mike's back.
I'm back, actually.
Connected.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Welcome back.
I didn't know that I lost because I could hear everything you were saying, so I apologize. Bipin wrote us. We've got a couple more questions that I wanted to get in badly. Bipin wrote us and said, how important is our social support? How important is the support these people get after a major event?
Yeah, and you know, I'd be happy to just jump in here with we met a number of people who had a tremendous support networks. We had met a number of people who had a support network of one or two. We met this woman named Amanda who was in a boating accident, and she went into a coma. When she woke up, she had to relearn to walk and to talk and to think. And long story short, she was she went into the water that day, very, very, very popular. She was a sorority girl, had a lot of friends. To know Amanda was to love her. And when she woke up, as people do, they come, there's this moment, this period of time where people lend a lot of support, but then they have to go back to their own lives. And, in Amanda's case, it was just one or two people, her mother and her fiancé, who, she perceived were the most important support network that she could possibly have. And as oddly enough, at the same time that this was going on, she happened to learn that she was the owner of a business called Brandables in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a kind of a T-shirt monogram kind of company. And so she had forgotten she owned it because she had the traumatic brain injury. But she went back to work, and the company was really suffering. It was right when the economy crashed. And she was able to rehabilitate both herself and the company at the same time,
simply with the support of her mother and her fiancé. And, you know, that what that really showed us was that, you know, it's, you know, perceived social support is just as important as, you know, actual social support.
Yeah, in other words, it wasn't the number of people that were there or not there for her, because she had two people that she always knew would be there. She felt capable of doing almost anything, and it was that sense that there were people at her back that pushed her forward and ultimately made her able to build a multi-million dollar company while also rehabilitating herself from a traumatic brain injury.
The book is called Super Survivors, The Surprising Link Between Suffering and Success. David B. Feldman and Lee Daniel Kravitz have written it. Wonderful book. You can go to supersurvivors.com. We had a quick question from Christina, but we aren't going to be able to get it in as well as the rest of the questions. So I'm going to turn this back to Joe and say just thank you for writing a wonderful book and a motivating book. Joe?
Yep, very definitely provocative and very informative. Stay with us. And thanks for listening today. You're listening to You, the Yonah's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt-based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.